tonight we have Pastor Barbara's message. It's called Prodigal/Grace. Prodigal/Grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being in our midst tonight. We thank you for the works that you're doing deep within our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit anointing would be here to do this teaching, to bring out the truths that you want brought out to your body. We pray that we would grow in your knowledge and in your glory in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Barbara put this message together because God is calling the prodigals in this hour. There's two snippets or clips from prophetic words that God gave Pastor Barbara this year, November 20th, 2015. And in the prophetic word it says, the prodigals are coming home, along with the backsliders, the alcoholics, drug addicts, and prostitutes. Another clip was April 18, 2015. The prodigals are going to return. In fact, they have already started to return. So you can see what God is doing and where he's going with this. Tonight we're going to look at the story of Hosea and Gomer. The air was cool and crisp, for it was still early on this bright spring morning. The sounds of a city beginning to stir broke through the silence. Shopkeepers opening up their shops, the bleating of the sheep and goats headed for the marketplace, and sellers shouting out trying to sell their wares. But there in the middle of the town could be heard a sound that was louder than all of these. For there in the middle of the town square, where a small crowd had already gathered, could be heard the sound of the auctioneer. 6 shekels! I'm bid 6 shekels, and who will make it 7? You, sir, will you go? 7? I've got 7 shekels, and now I need 8. 8 shekels is a small price to pay for this slave woman. She is worth much more than that. Who will give 8 shekels? They're auctioning off this woman. The bidding seemed like it would take forever. The one selling this woman was in no hurry to end the sale, hoping to eke out every last shekel possible. The men that had gathered there looked upon the one who was now on the auction block. The seller said she was worth much more than 8 shekels, but just by looking at her, one would not think so. She stood naked before them, and it was obvious that she was not well taken care of. She was rather thin and frail. Her ribs could be seen protruding through her scarred and bruised skin. Her black hair was dirty and matted together in places. It had once been her pride and joy, a place for combs and ribbons, but now it was just a home for dirt and lice. How long had it been since a comb had gone through it? Her eyes told the whole story. Her eyes that at one time had been so beautiful that they drove many a man to their knees in adoration. But how her eyes were empty. They were empty now. Her eyes were black, not from any cosmetic or makeup, but rather from fatigue and abuse. And we're talking about prodigals tonight. Everything that they've gone through, they went out there, they did whatever they did. This is the level of abuse that they're sitting in when they come back into the house of God. This could be you. You don't necessarily have had to left the house of God. You could just have a prodigal heart where you left God. You thought you knew better than him. You went out, said, give me my inheritance. I'm going to go out and spend it all. She stared blankly into the crowd of men that were bidding for her, not even concerning herself with who was bidding or even what the bid was. Yes, her eyes told it all. Her empty expression made it plain that true happiness had left her long ago. Her eyes told it all. Her empty expression made it plain that true happiness had left her long ago. 8 shekels, yes. Thank you, sir. Now 9. Who will go 9 shekels? This is still a great buy. Where will you ever find another slave woman for only 9 shekels? I've got 8 and I need 9. Who's going to give me 9? As the bidding continued, the woman thought back over her life. She had not been born a slave. No, she was born just as free as any of the ones now bidding for her now. Rather, she chose to be a slave. Well, not exactly. Again, think about where you're at. What choices brought you here to this place? What choices brought you to the state that you're in right now? If you're in a good state, fine and well. But if you're in a bad state, you really need to do some evaluation, some soul searching, to find out, do you want to be in the same place next year? Do you want to be in the same situation? Again, putting yourself in this woman's spot, Hosea and Gomer. She's being sold as a slave after all the degradation that she went through. Her life had been good, so good at one time. Remembered back to another place, another time. Time that seemed so long ago, almost seemed like a dream. She thought back to the joy of her wedding day. This woman had her own husband at one time. Oh, the joy of that day and the wedding feast. There was so much fun and laughter that had been set out. Husband had not spared meal. Fruit and vegetables and 3 kinds of meat and the wine flowed freely. Let's go back. Her life had been so good at one time. She remembered back to another time and another place. A time that seemed so long ago. It almost seemed like a dream. She thought back to the joy of her wedding day. For yes, this woman had had her own husband. Oh, the joy of that day and the wedding feast. There was so much fun and laughter. The food that had been set out, why her husband had spared no expense for that meal. There was fruit and vegetables and 3 kinds of meat, and the wine flowed freely. Oh, she longed for just a taste of it on this day. How long had it been since she had a real meal? Turn around, woman. Show your backside. Now you can see there are no lash marks on her back. Who will give me 9 shekels? Just 9. You can see she has been well disciplined. Yes, 9 shekels there in the back. Now 10. Do I have 10? Who will give 10? This woman won't give you any trouble. 10 shekels, anyone. Anyone. Yes, that had been quite a wedding feast. And her husband had been so good to her. He was not rich, but he did all he could to provide for her. Think about all the things that God has done for you. He had been so patient and kind. Never once had a cross word come out of his lips. God always treats us good. Even when she would spend more than he thought she should on her cosmetics and fine clothing. You know you're doing stuff that ain't right. And God's giving you his grace. He's giving you his mercy. You know you deserve the wrath of God. But he's still saying, all right, son, all right, daughter, I'll give you a little bit more time to get things together. She's running through all of this on her mind while she's on this auction block. Even when she would spend more than he thought she should on her cosmetics and fine clothing. On this day, any type of clothing would have been welcome. And when the children came, her husband had been so gentle to her through the childbirth and beyond. He was a good father. As the woman thought back over these memories, she felt like she wanted to cry. But no tears would come. She had had it all. A husband who really loved her, and two fine sons and a beautiful daughter. She wondered now, as she wasn't satisfied with it all. She wondered now why she wasn't satisfied with it all, after having lost everything. 10 shekels. 10 shekels. Where will you ever find a woman for only 10 shekels? Gentlemen, we'll never get to the better slaves if we don't sell this one first. What a slam. Right out in the open in front of everybody. We'll never get to the better slaves if we don't sell this one first. How much lower can you get? You're not even a good slave. When the enemy's done with you, this is where you be at. Who will give me 10 shekels? Who? Okay, 10 shekels over here. Now, how about 11? As the men continued to gaze upon her naked body and make their bids, she thought back to another time when other men had gazed upon her body. Her body had been so beautiful back then. Instead of being scarred and bruised, her skin was soft and smooth. The fancy clothes and makeup only enhanced her beauty. And whenever she would leave her house, she would notice that men's heads would turn and follow her beauty. She not only noticed it, she delighted in it. She delighted in the catcalls and the whistles and the affection from other men. Her husband would beg her not to leave looking like she did. The warnings that God gives you. Don't do this thing that you're planning in your heart to do. It's not going to get you what you want. It's not going to make you feel better. The pleasures of this world, the things of this world. Everybody else looks like they're having so much fun doing those things in the world. Doing those things that make them feel temporary pleasure. But in the end, it gets you right here. Being sold down the road. Being sold into slavery. She delighted in the catcalls and the whistles and the affection from other men. Her husband would beg her not to leave, looking like she did. But the desire for attention proved to be too much for her. The world just kept pulling her. Come on out here. We really want you bad. We really want to use you up and completely abuse you. And then when we're done, here's your end result. This is where you're going to be. In fact, she soon found out that just having men notice her wasn't enough. And it wasn't long before her flirtations led to strange bedrooms. It's amazing what you say you won't do. I'll just try a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We're just going to kiss. Smoke a little blunt. 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, your whole life is destroyed. You got an addiction you can't get rid of. You got diseases you never thought you'd even have. You got an anger problem that you can't get rid of. You try to be nice to people, but deep down on the inside of you, you done picked up an angry spirit. Consequences that come from this type of lifestyle. In fact, she soon found out that just having men notice her wasn't enough. and it wasn't long before her flirtations led to strange bedrooms. 11 shekels! I need 11 shekels. Gentlemen, I know she's not a virgin, but I'm not asking a virgin's price. Now her very personal privacy is just thrown out there. You think the things that you're doing are hidden? Nope. When the enemy's done with you, he puts it all out there. All. Total and complete exposure. Gentlemen, I know she is not a virgin, but I'm not asking a virgin's price. Then again, slamming her worth. I'm only asking for 11 shekels. She may not be a virgin, but she still has some good use left in her. Wow. Now, who will give me 11 shekels? Who? As time went on, the strange bedrooms increased, and the nights spent with her husband lessened. The one who really, really loved her, cherished her, wanted the best for her, started spending less and less time with him. I don't need to go to church. All of them people are crazy. There's just too much God going on in here. And all the time you're being sucked away from the only person that really loves you. The only person that really cares about you. That is not going to throw you away. That is not going to kick you to the curb. But is really going to be there for you. As time went on, the strange bedrooms increased and the night spent with her husband lessened. She could see the pain written all over his face. He would have done anything for her. But something compelled her. Think about all the times that God reached out to you and said, please, please don't go down this road. Don't go in this direction. I love you. You don't have to do this. You don't have to. But she still was compelled. It was like there was a deep emptiness within her heart that drove her out of her husband's loving arms. The lustful trance that her sins had put her in soon drove her from her husband's arms into the arms of her lovers for good. For a long while, she relished this new life of going from man to man, one bedroom to the next, one thrill after the other, still chasing the high, still chasing that feeling, never really grasping it, never really keeping it. You just have to keep going from high to high to high, not realizing what you really had at home. My parents don't understand me. Yeah, it's true, but they love you. They're a constant in your life. One guarantee from them that they will love you, they will treat you because they bore you. God loves you. He wants you. The world doesn't. The only thing the world wants from you is to use you. And then when they're done with you, throw you right back. They'll soon spit on you as they say anything to you. This full trance that her sins had during soon moved her from her husband's arms to the arms of her lovers. Long while she relished this new life of going from man to man, one bedroom to the next. Her lovers offered gifts unto her such as gold and perfume, well as pouring out their lust. She got nice things. Things given to her. Price to pay. Other things that were to her as well. New lover seemed to offer her more. This new lover seemed to expect more. And this is it. Give 11 shekels. Got 10 shekels going once. shekels gone twice. Horrible. Deuced to a harlot. Prostitute selling her body to her many lovers. The number of men she had could somehow fill the deep longing she had inside. Only a matter of time until men stopped calling and she became commonplace in the town. It was only a matter of time until the men stopped calling and she became commonplace in the town. For as her lovers had increased, her self-respect had diminished. The further and further you get out there, it doesn't make you feel any better. You start feeling worse. And as her self-respect left, so did her beauty. And as her beauty left, so did her lovers. As her beauty left, so did her lovers. If people can't value you and appreciate you for who you are, without makeup, without special clothes, without you doing anything for them, you don't need those people. You just don't. If you have to be giving someone something all the time, that's not a true friend. That's not someone that loves you. That's someone that's using you. And they're trying to take everything from you that they can. God does not do that. He doesn't need anything you have. He wants you. He loves you. But he's not looking to take anything from you. He's wanting to give to you. After all of this, she found herself in the streets with no place to go. Her many lovers now wanted nothing to do with her. She knew she couldn't go back to her husband after the way she had treated him. He was a godly man and would want nothing to do with her. And besides, the law clearly said what should happen to a woman who had done the things that she had done. The thoughts of stones being thrown against her body was hardly a welcome thought. See, and this is something that the prodigals understand. They know they've messed up. We know we've done things that are not right. Inside, we've fallen on the rock. We've cried out to God, I don't want to do this stuff. Change me. Get it out of me. I can't go back home. Because I won't be accepted. But in that, there's a messed up thinking. There's a messed up part of us that can't still see that through it all, even in our mistakes, God forgives us. He's still standing there with arms open wide, ready to pull us back in. All he's waiting for us to do is humble ourselves and jump into his arms. Have you ever thought these thoughts that she thought? He was a godly man and would want nothing to do with her. And besides, the law clearly said what should happen to a woman who had done the things that she had done. The thoughts of stones being thrown against her body was hardly a welcome thought. Her hunger drove her to the garbage pit outside of town, where she would rummage through the trash, looking for a scrap of food to eat. It was there at the garbage pit where she had come in contact with the one who was now selling her. It was there at the garbage pit where she had come in contact with the one who was now selling her. He had found her there, and with the offer of just a cup of warm soup, he had brought her into his home. For a few months, he too poured out his lust upon her. But now he was finished with her. He was tired of her and was ready to discard her like a used rag. She with no place to go and an empty look in her eye didn't even object when he stripped her and put her on the auction block. This is how low she felt. This is how low some people in the house of God feel. Because God has said that they're coming in like this with these feelings. We have to start being able to relate to these people. We get down on their level in the understanding of we understand how you feel. But we don't get down on their level and condone what they're doing. We tell them, God understands. God loves you. Come in. Receive that love. Receive that healing. But there's better for you. He has a better relationship for you. He does not intend for you to be a slave. You're a son. You're a daughter to him. When he was finished with her, he was tired of her and was ready to discard her like a used rag. She, with no place to go and an empty look in her eye, didn't even object when he stripped her and put her on the auction block. 10 shekels going twice. 10 shekels. What's that you say, sir? 15 shekels? 15 shekels and 10 bushels of barley? Why, sir, we're bidding on this woman. The better ones will be. Well, then it's a deal. 15 shekels and 10 bushels going once, going twice, sold. And so the deal was done. The one who had brought the woman made his way to the auction block. The seller held out his hands as he counted the coins, falling into his hands as well as counting his good luck that he had gotten such a fine price for this one. The woman didn't even raise her head to look. Felt that low. The thought was just one more man to use and abuse her. It's never going to end. You've been in some situations in your life you thought that thing was never, ever going to end. You get that low. The woman expected hands to grab her and drag her away. She was shocked when she felt a soft robe gently being placed upon her shoulders. Slowly she turned around and looked up into the most beautiful eyes she had ever seen. It was her husband. And he stood there with tears in his eyes. This is a picture of love. This is a picture of love that the Father has for you and for me. This is the picture of love that we need to have for each other and for those that God has sent into the house. He took the robe and covered her nakedness, ever so gently stroked her face. That's a powerful statement. He took the robe and covered her nakedness. He knew what she had done. Wasn't a secret. Wasn't a mystery. He knew. But still love covered what she had done. Overlooked it, forgave it, threw it out. He made a decision. He made a choice to love. God knew what we did before he sent his son to this earth to get up on a cross and die for us. He knew each and every one of us in here was going to sin and was going to entertain a lifestyle of sin until we understood that he was sending his son to die for us in our place. His love covers us always. He took the robe and covered her nakedness ever so gently and stroked her face. Without a word of condemnation or even a look of disgust, he looked at her and asked her to come home. Without a word of condemnation or even a look of disgust, he looked at her and asked her to come home. Not as a slave woman, but as his wife. Full and complete restoration. Full and complete restoration. Not looking to get vengeance. Not looking to get payback. You hurt me. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to make sure you know how bad you hurt me. Now, not as a slave, but as his wife. Her eyes told it all. Tears began to well up as she went into his outstretched arms. As she felt his strong arms embrace her, she knew that she was finally going home and the emptiness was filled. That's a beautiful representation of what God has done, is doing, for each and every one of us. Pastor Barbara really wanted you to get this in your spirit tonight. You have to let this settle in. You have to make this personal. If you don't do this, you won't be able to go forward in your walk with God. You need to get an understanding of His grace. You need to get an understanding of how much He loves you. And let's get it together. Let's go to that new place that He's ordained for us to go into. November 20th, read these again. The prodigals are coming home, along with the backsliders, alcoholics, drug addicts, and prostitutes. April 18th, the prodigals are going to return. In fact, they have already started to return. Let's look at Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. This is out of the Message Bible. The first time God spoke to Hosea, he said, "Find a whore and marry her. Make this whore the mother of your children. And here's why. This whole country has become a whorehouse, unfaithful to me, God." Hosea did it. He picked Gomer, daughter of Diblaim. She got pregnant and gave him a son. Then God told him, "Name him Jezreel. It won't be long now before I'll make the people of Israel pay for the massacre at Jezreel. I'm calling it quits on the kingdom of Israel." This marriage that Hosea and Gomer had was prophetic. God told Hosea to do this because he wanted to demonstrate to the church, he wanted to demonstrate to Israel how far he was willing to go to love them. You have to put yourself in this situation. You have to see how far God is willing to go to show you that he loves you. This is a beautiful, beautiful story of the faithfulness of God and even the obedience of Hosea. Because he didn't have to do this. But because he was obedient to God, he did what God told him to do. In time, they will come back again. Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. "Then God ordered me, start all over. Love your wife again. Your wife who's been in bed with her latest boyfriend, your cheating wife, love her the way I, God, love the Israelite people. Even as they flirt and party with every god that takes their fancy. I did it. I paid good money to get her back. it cost me the price of a slave. Then I told her, from now on, you're living with me. No more whoring. No more sleeping around. You're living with me, and I'm living with you. The people of Israel are going to live a long time, stripped of security and protection, without religion and comfort, godless and prayerless. But in time, they'll come back. In time, they'll come back. These Israelites come back looking for their God and their David King. They'll come back chastened to reverence before God and his good gifts, ready for the end of the story of his love. This is interesting because you have to think about everything that God does. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what it's going to take to get you to finally submit your 100% to him. And even though he's told you and warned you, don't go down this road. Don't do these things. Don't be swayed by the pulling of the world. He freely allows you to go out there and to make that mistake. And he's still waiting for you to come back to get your heart right and take the time that it takes for you to get back into the house of God. The flip side of this story is we are on the back end of this time thing because God has been saying grace door is closing. So we're not at the beginning of you going out and running and doing your thing. We're at the end of it because God has said the prodigals are coming back into the house of God. So the time to mess around and play around is over. It's over. So God is saying to the church, you need to wake up because he's going to close that door of opportunity for you to come back in and to receive full restoration, to receive the full benefits of him. So this isn't something to just say, oh, all right, I'm going to go run and be a prodigal now because God's going to bring me back in. You have to really look at the whole picture and see where we're at on this timeline with what God is doing. Hosea 4:11-14. Wine and whiskey leave my people in a stupor. They ask questions of a dead tree. Expect answers from a sturdy walking stick. Drunk on sex. They can't find their way home. They've replaced their God with their genitals. They worship on the tops of mountains, make a picnic out of religion. Under the oaks and elms on the hills, they stretch out and take it easy. Before you know it, your daughters are whores, and the wives of your sons are sleeping around. But I'm not going after your whoring daughters or the adulterous wives of your sons. It's the men who pick up the whores that I'm after, the men who worship at the holy whorehouses, a stupid people ruined by whores. God is going after the men / women who are picking up the whores that God is running after. If you make a choice to worship an idol, God is coming after you. He is telling you, you have to get it together. You have to get this thing straightened out and give your heart completely back to him. For a long time, the church has looked at people who have been in what we would call deep and gross sin and blamed them. You know, if the men didn't have a prostitute to go to, then they wouldn't be out there. It's not what God is saying. If the prostitutes didn't have men to go to or women to go to, and I'm going to say both sides because it goes both directions. If the prostitutes didn't have men that were willing to do these things, there'd be nowhere for them to do. They wouldn't have room to operate. if you weren't so fixated on worshiping your idol and doing what your idol's telling you to do, you would be better able to serve God with all of your heart and to give him your full undivided attention. You understand what I'm saying here? This is deep. And what God is trying to get us as a church to see. Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11 in the Message Bible. It said, Jesus went across to Mount Olives, but he was soon back in the temple again. Swarms of people came to him. He sat down and taught them. Then religion scholars and Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone and said, Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so they could bring charges against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at it, at him, badgering him. He straightened up and said, The sinless one among you go first. Throw the stone. Bending down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away, one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her, Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? She answers, No one, Master. Neither do I, said Jesus. Go on your way. From now on, don't sin. There's redemption. There's freedom. If you're finding yourself in this category of being a prodigal, God is not judging you. He's judging the ones who put you out there. You got to understand that in this hour. He's looking at them and holding them responsible because it takes two to go out and commit these things. Do you guys realize that the devil and his angels are going to pay a terrible price for being the ones to tempt God's people? They are definitely going to get it in the end, and they are going to reap a judgment and a harvest for everything that they have done to God's people. Do you understand that? So it may look like at this given moment that the devil is getting away and able to do everything that he wants to do. But in the end, there is a lake that burns with fire that he and all his angels will be cast into. And that is forever and ever and ever. Time without end. No one will get away. Like Gomer, we all know that God's grace comes to us while we are naked in our sins, and he clothes us with his righteousness. It's time that we allow God to put those robes of righteousness upon us. It's time that we allow him to really wrap us in that love that he has for us and to step away from the world. Romans 6, 18 to 20 in the New King James Version. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present yourselves members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Come back. Return to your first love. Return. Make that commitment to come back to the Father tonight. Hosea 14, verses 1 to 2. O Israel, come back. Return to your God. You're down, but you're not out. You may be sitting in here thinking, I don't have a chance. Prepare your confession and come back to God. Pray to Him. Take away our sin. Accept our confession. Receive His restitution, our repentant prayers. This is what our Father is saying to us tonight. He is calling us back to our first love. The Word says a humble and contrite heart He will not despise. He will not turn you away. But it takes you, it takes me, making that first step. Crying out, saying, Father, I know I messed up. I need you to help me. I don't understand everything that's going on around about me. I don't understand nothing. All I know is that you say you love me. And go from there. He will do the rest. There's times when you just get tired of the fight. You get tired of the day in, day out. And God understands that. He's looking for you, for us, to be honest. And to cry out to Him in those times. It's in those times where you will find Him giving you the strength that you need. Giving you the grace that you need to go one more step. Our Father is saying to us tonight, He is calling us back to our first love. He wants us to feel safe and secure once again in His everlasting arms. He wants to wash off the stench of sin and degradation. He wants to set us free to run for Him once again without any hindrances. His promise is ongoing in our lives. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Again, the humbleness of your heart. Are you going to be humble enough to ask Him to help you get back to your first love tonight? Last scripture, Psalms 94:14-15. For the Lord will not cast off His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. That's a powerful thing. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. God really wants us to make a commitment tonight to return to our first loves. The Holy Spirit is trying to woo us back so that we can get 100% fully into everything that the Father has for us. Just like this woman, this slave who was purchased back, God has already purchased you back. He's already made a way of escape for you to leave and to return to Him. But it's up to you. It's up to me tonight to make that choice. If you want to make that choice, the Lord is going to be here to meet you tonight. And the altar's open.